Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello, and welcome to the show. This is Donna Sebo, and we are going to be talking about healing today. And we're going to be going into some information that maybe some of you, if you have studied the Tao or Qigong or Tai Chi, may be familiar with some of what we'll be discussing. But this is going into a whole different level. We're going to be talking with William Wei and finding out, one, how this man got involved with the basic practices of the Universal Healing Tao, which is the title of this book, and how it has changed his life. So I think you're going to find that what we're able to share with you today is going to be illuminating as well as very insightful and practical for your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being. William Wei, welcome to the show.
Yeah, great to have me. Thank you.
William, you are a senior instructor of the Universal Healing Tao, and you had a master teacher, Mantak Chia. Your journey of getting involved with the Tao, why was it that it became so attractive to you? What was it that made you say, this is something I need to study? Because you've spent many years of your life doing exactly that.
Well, basically, I wrote a book about 30 years ago, or I published one, called The Health Force. And the last two chapters in the book, by the authors at the time, Bob Zura and Bob Lewansky, they had two chapters on the Tao at the end. And I kept reading those chapters and never could understand what the Tao was. So, curiosity and that's what made me pursue the Tao, because I could never understand it. I found out later it was too simple, because we live in a very complicated society, and there's got to be 6-7 different answers for everything. And the Tao is just very simple and very direct. So anyways, my friend, who was a co-author, Bob Zura, suggested I read a book by Mantak Chia. It was the Purple Book. It was the Taoist Secrets of Love, or the Male Cultivation Book. So I read that book, and I'm telling you, it really blew me away. I, at the time, was doing a lot of reading, a lot of different subjects, you know, probing and everything else of life and what the meaning of life was and where I'm in that position. So I read that book, and I, for the first time in a long time, I read a lot of different new concepts that I never heard about before. How to control your sexual energy, which for every young man is a real challenge growing up. Anyways, I kept reading that book, and I said, man, I gotta meet this guy. So I called up. I was in Detroit at the time, and I called up, and he was in New York, Mantak Chia, and the office that I called, because there was a number in the book, they said, well, he doesn't teach in the Midwest. And I said, oh, he teaches, which is really quite rare that an author teaches their material. But they said he'd be up in Toronto. He gets as far as he goes, but he won't be up there for a few months. But you can take a course by a couple senior instructors at the time that were associated with him.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, great. So my friends and I took a train up from Detroit to Toronto, and I got to the workshop, and I took the workshop, and boy, for the whole weekend, and I walked away from there. I said, man, I have no idea what they're talking about. I don't know what's going on. So I was a little disgruntled, and I came back to Michigan, but I kept looking at that Purple Book. So I said, I want to give him a call again. So after about a month, I called again, and they said he would be up in Toronto teaching the same workshop, which was the basics, first level. So I went up there again a second time, took the same workshop. But this time, I connected with him. I was very impressed with what he had to say and his sincerity and what it was about. And I didn't quite understand everything, but I liked him and I liked the connection. And he talked about becoming an immortal, changing the physical body into the spirit body, which I never heard anybody live actually say that. And I've read about it, but never really met a person who was going to plan to do it. So at the end of the workshop, as an aspiring student, I asked him if, what I could do, and he told me five things. Practice, 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 practice. And what he was saying is, in essence, that all the questions I had about the Tao would be answered once I started the practice. So out of respect for him, when I got back to Detroit, I tried to do a daily practice, you know, 5-10 minutes. And because of my schedule and all my other activities, it took me about a year and a half to get a daily practice going. And that was almost 30 years ago.
30
so I
years
just kept
ago.
Practicing. And then I would connect with him or another instructor periodically every 6 months or so. And I just became a student for the first 5 years. So that was my introduction into the Tao and this system.
Now, you ended up going over to traveling to over 30 countries in the process of your
study. Oh, yeah,
well,
that came a little later. As a student, you know, I just loved being a student because I was involved in automotive as a manufacturer's rep. I represented five different companies. I made millions of dollars in the business world, but, you know, it's kind of like a rat race to me. It was always under a lot of stress and a lot of activity and different relationships, owning different homes, so many different activities I had. That this was a blessing. Every now and then I'd go to a workshop and it was like going into another world. And I really enjoyed myself. So I was happy just being a student. But Master Chia kept seeing me at these workshops. And he said, well, I keep seeing you here. You should become an instructor. I said, oh, no, I'm not ready. Oh, he said, no, you're ready. So that summer, it was after 5 years, he told me to come that summer and do the requirements at the time of 3 weeks of the training. And I took the course, for the certification. And at the end of it, they told me to come back a year later. I wasn't ready. I was a little puzzled. I said, well, the guy who created the whole thing said I was ready. And so he saw me at the summer retreat, and he said, well, how'd you do? And I said, well, they told me to come back next year. He said, oh, my God, that's impossible. And so he said, let me talk to him. So he went to talk to him, and he found out the reason that they wouldn't pass me because I knew too much material about the system, and I was explaining it to them as I knew it instead of explaining it to them as a new student. So he had me retest, and I passed, but I never forgot that. So when I taught, I only taught the basics, not all the other extended practices. And that's what led to the Qi cards, which led to this book. The Qi cards are just a 2x3 card that I used. The first one I made was testicle breathing from the purple book, the male cultivation book. And then I kept adding inner smiles, six healing sounds, and all the other formulas, and I formed a deck. And I showed it to Master Chi, and he said, man, this is great, except one thing. I said, what's that? He said, on the back of the card, you should put the visual illustration of the practice. I had a great idea. Why didn't I think of that? So he always comes up with great ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So I put the first deck of Qi cards together, and then I kept training and practicing and teaching, and I put the second, third, fourth, and fifth, sixth decks together. And then I realized that was just half the system. And after many years, this took 20 years to put together. It's a lot of work. I regret ever doing it. And then I realized nobody's ever done this ever before. In any language, the step-by-step or the actual formulas to transform from the early stages of your physical body into your spirit body. So it's kind of like a quest then. And I also realized I need another six decks to complete the rest of the system. And this winter, I'm going to work on the next three decks. So there'll be 12 decks altogether, over 500 formulas that you work with to actually achieve this. And now that the more I use cards, they're great using it, but it's hard to get people to connect with it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went on the road with Master Chia for six years, we went over 30 different countries, and of course I got involved in another stage of helping him raise money to build a training facility to actually do the practices.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I went on the road with him, and I actually sold 64 units of townhouses and condominiums, and that's the money he needed to build the whole facility.
Now, with
that's
Master...
how that worked out.
Okay.
And that,
with Master...
to give me credibility, I actually taught with him, and then he did some slides of the facility in Thailand, and that's how we would have it to convince other students to invest into the property.
All right. With
so
Master
Chia,
William, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. What I wanted to say is with Master Chia, he has quite a background himself, and he was born in Thailand to Chinese parents in 1944, and when he was six, he was going through training by Buddhist monks. He learned traditional Thai boxing. He became quite good in Aikido, yoga, and Tai Chi. And he began his studies of the Tao when he was quite young and studied under many different people. This book that has been put together is an incredible publication. And it's an illustrated guide to the six, level one through level six. Now, I'm finding it quite fascinating how so many people are beginning to come forward from the Asian environment that have been trained and skilled in the practices of the Tao, Qigong, Tai Chi, where it's taken them many, many, many years, and they're saying, we've got to pass our knowledge along. And Master Chia, along with you, really feel that this is important to be brought forth to people so that they understand that we're dealing with the mind-body-spirit component, and this is something that we can work with. Now, it used to be you had to study under someone. This is something that a lot of people in our busy worlds in the Western world, just like you when you started out, really didn't have much of an opportunity to do that. So this book is illustrating so many things. It's extremely well done. But I would imagine that the first time someone opens up a book like this, they go through it and they go, holy Moses, what in the world should I start out with? Because there's so much information. And you make statements in your book that it is very, very important that it would be best if you worked with a certified instructor. So I want to ask two questions. If someone wants to get this book, first of all, should they just read through it, as I did, just go through and highlight things that they're interested in? And two, how do they go about finding someone that they can work with? Because you had the experience where the first person that you interacted with, you couldn't relate to, but you did with Master Chia.
Well, first of all, there's over 3,000 instructors in the world now. Because what Master Chia did was set up a whole instructor certification system 30 years ago. And what he did was he actually trained and certified individual instructors. And you can go to their website, www.universal-dao.com, and you can connect with an instructor in your area. And I highly recommend working with an instructor. I would read through the book, because it's all the formulas, because as the Taoists say, our mind, our upper mind, is our monkey mind. It's got to know all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you just show them all the formulas for the first six levels, your monkey mind, and they won't have any other questions about it, and they can actually relax and start practicing. And the first formula you practice was the number one formula, which is inner smile. And as Master Chia told me, all the questions you have about the Tao or any of the universal healing Tao system will all be answered once you practice. So the hardest thing about it is doing a daily practice. And all you got to do is 5-10 minutes every day. But that's space repetition. It's what I call in my other book, Living in the Tao, which is also available in Inner Traditions, is the rock and the drop. You take a bucket of water and you get a rock and you tilt the water on the rock and you get a big splash. The rock's a little cleaner, but nothing happened to the rock. Now you take that same bucket and just tip it one drop at a time, same spot, spaced repetition, and before all the water is out of the bucket, it'll split the rock. In other words, the rock is your goal, what you're trying to achieve, and the water in the pitcher is your energy. So you just do a little bit each day, and after a period of 10 years, your whole life changed, or will change. But in 6 months, if you do an hour of the practice every day, nothing's going to happen. So we suggest you do a little bit each day, and everything will come to you.
You talk right in the beginning of your book about two main forces that are around us, and I found this very interesting because I was having discussions with people about electricity and magnetism and how it has such a profound, effect on the body. And of course, anyone that has done any study of magnetism, we all have heard about Mesmer in Europe, but the Chinese, the ancient Chinese knew about magnetism long before the Europeans did. And they knew about electricity, not in the context necessarily as we have it in experience today, but they knew about it. They understood it. And
well, this is all inner alchemy. Inner means inside the body. Alchemy is changing one substance into another. But this is all revealed in the West as well. Now, this is my understanding and my research. But everything was burned in the West, the great libraries, but they had some of the people like Merlin in the Middle Ages. These people are all alchemists, but they all left. But the interesting thing with China, I think the whole system came from outer space, if you dig deep enough, aliens. And it was in different spots all over the planet. But a lot of them were controlled and destroyed, but China was isolated. And I don't know if you've ever been to the Himalayas, because once they got to a certain level of their practice, that's where they went. In the Himalayas, I've been in it, they take the United States coast to coast and fill it with big mountains. That's the Himalayas. I mean, it's huge. And that was a wall that separated all the other invading countries into China, so China was isolated. So that's why the system survived in China. It's not necessarily Chinese. It's really global. And that's why a lot of the Westerners connected with this when Master Chia started to teach it, because this is in their DNA, from my opinion, from my research, especially the Germans. They're really connected to it. Of course, most of the Europeans and the Americans, because of that background from our ancestors.
Very true. That
so one thing that people don't understand about Master Chia is a lot of different Taoist masters that tried to come over to the West didn't have the success that he had. And the real reason of it is that his parents were missionaries, Christian. They were Southern Baptist, oddly enough. So he read the Bible about 17 times as a little boy. Even though he was Chinese, born in Thailand, he was Christian. And he understood how the Western mind worked, which works a lot different than the Asian mind. The Asians think in a circle. The Westerners think how we read, which is from left to right. So it's linear thinking. So he read enough of the Bible to realize how the Westerners were thinking, and also he took a lot of anatomy courses in college. And when he learned the basic internal alchemy formulas from his initial master, White Cloud, he was 13 years old. Now, how do you remember all these formulas over these years? Well, he's born the year of the monkey, and monkey see, monkey do. He's an excellent copier, so he copied everything he learned originally from his master, who he practiced with two to three times a week for 4 years before he went back to Thailand, because he was in Hong Kong in high school. So a lot of little connections made all this happen. And then he went on the road and continues on the road for 30 years now. all over the globe. He's been into Australia. He's working a lot heavier in China now, in Asia, Thailand, he's taught, and then throughout Europe, South Africa, South America, and throughout North America, from Alaska to Hawaii to all about 40 states in America. So you have a rare combination of where his background, and then you also have a rare combination with his drive and his ability to, his charisma to connect with people.
Now let's talk about the five stages.
Which all contributed to the book as well.
Mm-hmm. For the five stages of mastering chi. Now, this is something that I think most of my listeners have heard about. But you have conserving chi, balancing chi, transforming chi, increasing chi, and expanding chi. Now, each of these five steps, boy, in the Western world, I think the very first one, conserving chi, is so important because it's so easy to get to what's called the burnout stage. And it just seems to be a plague in the Western environment. And this is the very first step. How can one leak energy? That's how you put it in the book. It's the leaking of energy.
Well, first of all, you have to define what chi is. Chi is basically life force. It's what makes everything alive. And once you lose what your initial, what they call the original chi, which is in your kidneys, which is the first organ that's formed, that's the beauty of the Universal Healing Tao system. It correlates directly with Western science. We're just explaining it in Western science terms, how the body functions from its organs and how it circulates energy. With Western technology or Western understandings because of Massachusetts' background. Mm-hmm. So it's the life force. It makes everything alive. It makes it move. It makes it light up, however you want to determine alive. Now, the biggest area we lose it in is our sexual energy. Men, when they ejaculate, and women, when they have menstrual cycle. So that's in the kidney area, which governs your genitals, and that's where your original life force started, in the kidneys. So the main thing is to try to not lose that power sexually. And that was the purple book, Male Cultivation, how you can actually draw the energy up the spine and have an orgasm in your brain as opposed to a genital orgasm. And this is what I learned, a technique with the testicle breathing, an unaroused level, with the orgasmic energy, and then with the big draw, with the orgasmic, the aroused level, of utilizing and drawing the orgasmic energy up into the spine, into the brain. So when you don't ejaculate, you don't not only lose the semen, but you don't lose the hormones which you need for every cell in your body to regenerate, which is a big step. So that's what Master Chia's initial impact was. But that is just the beginning part of the alchemy. In other words, changing one substance into another. Now, with the women, many of the menstrual cycles, especially in the West, because of primarily bad diet and also trying to compete in the business world or all these other stress high levels, it throws a woman's energy off. And they end up with long, lengthy menstrual cycles, heavy discharge, and cramping, pain, PMS, which they created years later, a term for it. But once you start to use the ovarian breathing and the breast massage and the ovarian massage, you can start to reduce the menstrual cycles. In other words, lessen the frequency of them. Instead of having them once a month, you might have them once every 2 months, once every 6 months by doing these techniques. And then also the discharges can get it down to a period of little spotting or nothing at all eventually. And then the length of the menstrual cycle, instead of 2 weeks, which some women have, down to an hour. So it changes the sequence of it, and then also the length of it and actual discharge of it, which changed your life. And why? Because you're conserving, again, when the woman does this discharge, she loses a lot of hormones it needs for her cell structure to reproduce and maintain itself. So that's the number one area, how you lose energy. And then you can get it down further from, you know, using our eyes too much. I mean, the average person in America watches, 6 hours of TV a day or on the Internet. That's a whole other thing. How you control that is taking time out, walking into the park, relaxing. There's eye exercises, which we have a book out on. Also hearing. So all the senses are overstimulated, and every time you use your sense, you lose the chi or the life force. So the key is conducting your lifestyle differently. Of course, when you do the meditation, you slow down the mind. It's like driving a car 90 miles an hour. You look outside, we see, not a whole lot. But then you stop the car, and you start walking. Now what do you see? A lot more, right? That's what meditation does. When you take 5-10 minutes, this is a gradual process over many years. You take 5-10 minutes every day and slow the mind down, and then you start to see things for what they really are. Instead of reacting to a situation, you start to act correctly. I mean, a lot of times when we grow up, can you do this, can you do this, can you do this? And our ego says, oh, we can do everything. Yeah, I got it. But we never stop ourselves and ask, do I really want to do this? Is this what my life's about? Where am I going to be in 10 years when I do this? And most of us just overreact to everything because of our ego, or which is another name for the monkey mind. Because we're challenged. Can we do it? Sure, we'll do it. Yeah, why not? Yeah, sure. Never ask yourself, why should we do it? Is this what our life's about? Is this where we want to go? So when you slow the mind down, you start to ask these questions to yourself. And that's exactly what happened to my crazy world of the 80s. When I was running around like a chicken without its head on, representing too many companies, making too much money, I didn't even know what to do with the money. I never thought about having money. That's why I lost it all, and all that energy. So,
William,
you start meditation, you start asking yourself, what are you really doing here? Mm-hmm. And that's what takes place when you start to do the practices.
William, this book, Basic Practices of the Universal Healing Tao, it is so compact with information, and I was just so impressed with it. It is a book that I think, with everything from exercises, there is something in here on detoxification, but there is so much information that I would say to anyone reading it, if you go through the book first, and then make notes about what appeals to you, and then go back to the beginning. Start it over. And I think having an instructor would just be great. But just if you begin with the level, you know, one, and just read that and reread it. And I'd even suggest if someone wanted to make a tape for themselves or a CD, where they could listen to it and listen to the instructions and go through it over and over and over again. But I agree with you. 5 or 10 minutes a day for meditation is, and for so many people, that is about as much as they are willing to do and often have time to do because they've got such intense schedules. But it makes all the difference in the world. And I find that you've got wonderful information in it on the Tai Chi system. You have drawings, you've got all kinds of information, and they can go to your website, universal.dao.com. That's
universal-dao.com.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Thank you for correcting me. universal-dao.com. And this is going to give you a lot of information, but if you're interested in exploring something that really can be brought into your life in little tiny bites. You don't have to go in and say, oh my goodness, look at all of this. How am I ever going to conquer it? But there are little disciplines that you will find will bring so much benefit into your life. And I just think it's incredibly valuable, and it complements so much of what I have read over the years and in some respects that I utilize even in my own life. And William Way, congratulations on a fascinating journey. And
yeah,
I
it's been, to put that book together, it's been over 30 years. But to put this system together, it's over 10,000 years. So this is the oldest system known to humankind.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody really organized it until Master Chia came around and connected with myself to put this whole thing together. Now you have it in one book, at least half the practices.
That's right. You've got more information coming out. William Way, thank
Absolutely.
You so much for being
And it's a real blessing that, and I feel that all this material is being revealed now in the last 30 years to welcome in the, as the Christians call, the next, the golden thousand years. Because the only way we're going to make any changes in the planet is our individually, consciously changing our own consciousness.
I agree.
So this will help you discover who you are and where you're at and where you're going.
Thank you, William. This is Donna Siebel. We're taking a break. Check out www.universal-dao.com. I think it will really make a difference. Why not take the power of your life and direct it in a way that serves you the best, and that can ripple out to others as well. Donna Siebel here. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Siebel, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Do you have a product or service that you would like people to know about? Internet radio is a powerful medium that can assist you in reaching people who like to shop online and pass by electronic word of mouth information about you, your products, and or services. The Donna Siebel Show reaches around the world, and you can be part of that enterprising network. For more information, contact Vision Broadcasting via donna@delphiinternational.com
or call 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
If you are an author and would like to be a guest on the Donna Siebel Show, please send a review copy of your publication along with a press release to the Donna Siebel Show, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. Allow 6 to 8 weeks for your material to be reviewed. Again, the address to send your material to is the Donna Siebel Show, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone line, if you'd like to call in and chat with me today, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. So much is going on in the world that I think sometimes we just get overwhelmed. And I know I treasure my quiet time in the morning that I have because I have to prepare for the show every day. And it is amazing. All of the people that are sharing their knowledge and information, at least with the materials that I get on my desk. And I'm so pleased to see how for women in so many various levels, they are expanding their world. And at the same time, it's creating new challenges for them. And one of the challenges of opportunity that's coming this way for women, and it's not a big surprise, is that of becoming a pilot. That's right. And young kids, young girls, are finding that the opportunity that was denied maybe to the mothers, to the grandmothers and the great-grandmothers, they are finding, by golly, it is wide open for them. Now, the reason I wanted to bring this up is while I was up on a business trip in Anchorage, Alaska, I went to their museum. And their museum is gorgeous. If ever you should find yourself up in the far north, do take time to visit the Anchorage Museum. They constantly have all kinds of programs there. But what they had on exhibit when I was there was of a special interest to me because of it was all about air travel in the far north. Now, we take air travel so much for granted today. But in the early 1900s, actually the late 1800s, when the art of flying began, and of course Leonardo da Vinci, if you want to step back a few centuries, he had thought of it a long time ago, and even further back than that, people desired to fly. They wanted to be like the birds, to go from one point to another with ease. Well, obviously it took a long time for that to happen, but it really didn't catch on in Alaska until about 1920. Now, air travel in the state of Alaska is mandatory. I mean, there are so many places that without planes bringing in supplies, they'd literally be isolated. Their contact with the outside world would be non-existent. Can you imagine not getting your mail for 3 to 6 months because the plane had not come in? For a lot of years, mail was delivered by dog sled. That's right. And so it all depended on the weather. And it depended on who had the dog sled and who was going to be bringing it in. So life in the far north was extremely challenging. And, of course, that was the case in many parts of the world. But as I said, air travel has evolved. And in the 1920s, it really caught on. Well, because we have so many people of mature years that are retiring from the arena of flight, we are going to have a big need for pilots. And there is encouragement, especially up in Alaska, and I think throughout the country, of inviting women to come in and become pilots. And this is something that women are very, very good at. I can remember being told many, many years ago how women were tremendous sharpshooters. They just had this way of being just superb at managing a gun and being able to hit targets, and they have a knack for it. But a lot of women just weren't interested in it. However, a lot of women were interested in flying, and there just wasn't the support for it, primarily because they figured it was a guy's space, and they didn't want the gals in there. Well, times have changed, and this is really good. Young women up in Alaska were encouraged to attend the Great Alaska Aviation Gathering at the FedEx hangar in Anchorage while I was up there. And two young girls, and one was 8 years old, and let's see, I think the other was just a, there were 15-year-olds, and there were some that were younger than that. But they're excited. They want to become pilots. And they said that at this event, about 21,000 people attended, and the older pilots, they don't care whether you're male or female, they just want to encourage young people to get into the industry. That's right, because we're going to need them to fly us wherever it is that we want to go. And believe it or not, enrollment at flight schools is down. And the older pilots say, we're not going to be here after a while. So if we don't encourage the youngsters to be involved, we're really going to be handicapped. Now, these kids, they went through all kinds of quizzes. They had a good time with this on weather, aerodynamics, navigation, FAA regulations. They have a school that they offer to kids, and it's a ground school. And they said, oh, my goodness, this is wonderful. They have to learn how to use an E6B. Do you know what that is? I didn't have a clue. It's a circular slide rule that is specifically used in aviation. And two young women, 15 years old, going through a lot of this special exhibition, they're excited. They're going to be heading off to flight school. And of course, another venue that's really good is the military, because they have wonderful, wonderful training in flight. So one of the young girls was asked why she wanted to fly and what expression of flight she wanted to do, and she said law enforcement. And I went, wow, that is necessary too. Remember the helicopter pilots that fly the units that go above our homes that track down criminals? Well, there's a skill to that. Helicopter flying is really a challenge. You have to be very, very ambidextrous and instant response patternings. It's very different from flying a 777. But you need to realize that this is an opportunity. If you have young girls, young boys in the family, and they have a passion for flight, the opportunities for jobs is going to be amazing. And I'll tell you what, if you are a person that has pilot experience, believe it or not, and we've got a neighbor who is in his 70s who took up flying. He just decided he wanted to do it. He used to be a navigator. And he said, I loved flying then, but now I want to fly myself. It's amazing. We need people who can take care of that particular need. The world is changing, and young women have just as much of an opportunity as young men. And I think this is marvelous. I think whatever field a young person wants to go into, it doesn't make any difference whether they're male or female. This is my attitude. If they qualify and they can do it, give them the job. Sex should have nothing whatsoever to do with it. Fortunately, we're beginning to evolve into that direction. It's taken a long time, and there's been a lot of battles, and there's still some ignorance regarding it. But by golly, again, I think we're evolving slowly but surely to that level. If you can do the job, if you've got the qualifications, you get it. I think it's great. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. And if you're a first-time listener, I'm so delighted you're joining us. Remember, all I need from you is your first name or initial, and I will give you my insights. And then, of course, you're welcome to ask a question about anything that you desire. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about prostate cancer breakthroughs. Dr. Jay Cohen is a man that decided he was going to publish information about this. It's a problem that men have encountered, especially as we have had longer and longer life levels. When my granddad was alive, most men died around 55 years of age, so prostate cancer, very rarely have ever heard about it. Well, since men now are living past 65, into their 70s, 80s, 90s, and a few even over their 100s, over the age of 100, then this is something that comes up. Why? Because the body goes into a patterning. Well, there are various ways of handling it. And Dr. J decided that he was going to investigate what options are available to men. We're going to be finding out about that tomorrow, and it made a difference. So if you've got a guy in your life, or you know of a man who is going through this challenge, or you want to be informed about it yourself as a male, or ladies, if you have men in your life, you need to be informed, too, so you can support them if this challenge comes up into their life. Also, we're going to be talking about healing Lyme disease co-infections. Lyme disease is a big challenge in today's world. The Lyme infestation of ticks has been going on for a long, long period. It was very strong back on the East Coast, and now it has gotten so that it's in many areas of the country. It has spread. And it's usually, the tick itself usually comes off of deer. And you can be anywhere. We had a guest on the show one time. She got bitten along with all of the members of her family when she was about 6 years of age because she was living in a part of the country that this happened. And she didn't realize she had Lyme disease until it decided to literally come to life in her body as a mature woman. So this is good information, I think, for anyone, and I think you'll find it a fascinating listen, so I hope you'll join me. And if you're wondering about the guests coming up on the Donna Sebo Show, all you have to do is tap the show information button, and you'll see all of those people that are coming up during the month. Be sure to tell your friends about the show, because we'd like them to join us as well. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a baby who was a miracle. And maybe a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Don't go away.
Have you ever had a paranormal experience, such as seeing a ghost, having precognitive dreams, out-of-body experiences, or other happenings? If so, Donna would like to hear from you. She's putting together a book of 100 stories from people who would like to tell their story. If you'd like to submit yours, send an email to donna@delphiinternational.com. Again, send your story to donna@delphiinternational.com. Be sure to include your contact information as well. Thank you.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome. And we have a caller on the line, and if you want to give me a buzz, 888-627-6008. Well, we have got Jeff from North Pole, Alaska. Hi, Jeff.
Hello, Donna. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing wonderfully. I was just up in your part of the world about a week ago, and my goodness.
I know. I found out before... Well, just before you left, and I wasn't able to schedule an appointment. But I saw you about 10 years ago, and I'm so glad you've got a radio program now.
Oh, I'm so thrilled that you found out about it. And I'm, you know, I'm always available by phone. But are you still still inundated with snow, or has it finally thawed and gone away and spring keeping you company now?
Oh, it's still about a foot of snow. But it's getting warmer.
Oh, my goodness. I think all of you are going to be doing the sun dance, demanding that the sun god melt all of that stuff sooner rather than later, because you can't do anything. You can't plant anything, and the ground is still frozen underneath. What an environment. This has really been a strange spring for you guys.
It sure has.
Well, Jeff, let's get down to business with you. The first thing that I'm looking at is that you must take care of business. You are winding down your particular activities relative to what I call a business environment. And you're saying, I really want to shift into something new, but before I can do that, I have to take away a lot of the stress and certain activities that are causing me such aggravation. And you're right. And you need to have about a year to phase out what you would consider the unnecessary and really streamline your activities so that you can have the clarity about what you want to do on a professional basis. Now, you need to give yourself about a year to do this. Because as you are slowing down in an area of involvement relative to business and work, you want to be sure that you take care of what I call a bunch of loose ends, whether it's financial or social or anything else. And you want to be sure that as you're closing things down and out, that you finalize and finish everything in a very organized method and manner. And then you're going to find that you can see how you can evolve into this other area of interest that will do very nicely for you financially. But again, there has to be a plan. There has to be a resolution of clarity about how you're going to make the shift. And once you put everything together, if you give yourself a year, finalizing that which needs to be finalized, keeping your environment clear of any new entanglements, then you're going to be able to make the transition smoothly, easily. Your economic balance will be maintained. Your emotional, physical well-being will be maintained. You won't have high levels of stress. Now, one of the things that's going to take a lot of your time, effort, and energy is dealing with some people who are close to you. Could be family, could be friends. There are individuals that are really going to be going through some rocky phases this year. And you know that your support, you're not going to try to take care of things for them. You are going to be very supportive of them, and that's going to take a lot of your time. And that's something that you're going to do willingly, but again, you're trying to keep a balance. So as I look at this year of 2013, I have to say it is a year that is two-sided. On one side, it's as if you're closing out a phase of your life, and this can be done very gracefully and easily. On the other side, I am seeing you slowly and gradually making the shift into what you want to shift into. I don't think an actual physical move is going to be indicated here. That might be coming in about 5 years. But I want you to have patience with yourself and your circumstances so that you're going to be in the positioning of feeling like you're managing what you need to manage well and in a balanced way. So don't be in a hurry. Take your time. Be methodical. Utilize the wisdom you've gained through the years and just very gently flow. Don't push. Don't shove. Very gently flow into this shift that's going to be in place in 2014. You'll do very well, and you will not lose an economic base. You have a question for me, Jeff?
Yes, I do. My 14-month-old grandson stays with me, and he was kind of a surprise in our life. When I carry him and we go past my fridge, there's a picture of my deceased mom. She died a few years ago, and he always reaches for her picture. And I was wondering if you could tell me if there might be some kind of connection between them.
Oh, I think so. I think that there is a recognition of her. He's 14 months old, and children have a way of acknowledging, especially any kind of experiences or past life experiences. And if you talk to him about her, he'll just beam. And I think the reason that he's connecting with her is that he's seeing her. I think she has taken on the positioning of being a guardian for him. So that's what he is letting you know, is that she's around all the time. And don't be surprised if your grandson, when he really starts gabbing, and I give him just a few months, he's trying real hard right now, but the muscles in his mouth just aren't working all that well. But he'll just suddenly giggle every once in a while, and it's as if he's being tickled. And she likes to do that. And so it's as I'm watching her, it's like she's putting her finger around his tummy or into his side, and he just giggles. So you need to know that she is around the child, as well as some other people. And one of the things that might be fun for you to do is to open up an old album, and he'll point out the people that he sees that have passed over, that are in the circle around him.
Excellent. I'll do that.
I think you'll find it very, very interesting. And, Jeff, I'm so delighted that you found out about the show. And, hey, I hope you can listen more often.
I'll be doing it, especially on your Lyme disease program on the 10th. I'll be definitely listening to that. Thank you for such informative topics you've chosen.
Oh, you're more than welcome. It's one of my joys in life. And enjoy, well, I can't say enjoy the snow because I'm sure you're sick of it. But before you know it, you're going to have the flowers blooming.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Don. It's nice to talk with you again.
It's a pleasure. You take care now. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
This is Donna Sebo, and I'm so delighted that you have been able to join me today. Tell your friends, we've got a great lineup of people here. We've got very diversified subject matter, and that's because I like diversification. We never know it all, and it's so important we keep our minds and our attitudes open to expanding our own areas of knowledge and realizing there are a wonderful, wonderful grouping of people in this world that they're giving the best that they have. And part of it is through the written word. And we get a chance to experience it. I think that is exceptionally positive. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Don't let anybody ever dictate to you how you should think, how you should feel. But make it a journey where you explore yourself. You know, you're really a magnificent creation, and I'm so delighted you're sharing this time with me. This is Donna Sebo. Have a magnificent day or evening wherever you are on this gorgeous planet of ours, and know that your light shines and illuminates other people's paths, because You are who you are. Be grateful for life. It's a gift. This is Donna Sebo. Have again a magnificent day. We'll talk with you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.